Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah 8. In the last part of verse 10, the Word of God says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Young people, understand this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A lot of people try to find strength where it's not found. They'll try to find strength in things like willpower or natural provisions. Well, I have a lot of money, therefore I feel strong. That's not your strength. As a matter of fact, I actually met a guy, and I like to tell this story. You probably heard it, but I'll tell it again just because I like it. Years ago, I met a man. We were soul winning in downtown Baltimore. And in the morning, he had $10 million. In the evening, he had 10 cents. All of his wealth was in the stock market. I'm not saying that's a bad way to go. I'm just saying it didn't go well for him. And in one day, he lost absolutely everything he had. If his money was his strength, he would have been an incredibly weak person. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if you are going to be able to handle situations in your life correctly, you're going to need the joy of the Lord. That means joy. Exactly the way that you think of what joy is, that's what it is. That means joy. And you may think to yourself, well, how in the world am I always going to have the joy of the Lord? Because some days are just difficult days. But it's still possible to deal with a difficult day or a difficult situation or a difficult person and still maintain the joy of the Lord. The key is in the phrase of the Lord. It doesn't mean the Lord's joy. It means the joy that the Lord gives. The Word of God says that in His presence is joy. It's in Psalm 16:11. In His presence, it's not just joy, but it's the fullness of joy. Complete joy is found in the presence of God. And then in that portion, it also continues, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. In other words, the things that make you happy are found with God. At His right hand, it's actually talking about His strength, His authority. What it means is that when you live under the authority of God, and that is your governing authority in your life, you're going to find a great many things that cause you pleasure, that you like. The things that make you really happy. I don't know about you, but you know a Dairy Queen, those dip cones, those, you know, with the chocolate covering, those make me happy. Okay, those are just one of the many, many, many different types of pleasures you can actually find at the right hand of God. Now, you're going to say, how is He going to give you an ice cream? He's going to give you the ability to get the ice cream. At His right hand, in His authority. Now, when we're talking about the authority of God, we're talking about a kingdom and a throne. In Hebrews 4:16, there is a throne of grace. That's God's throne. So the authority of God is always about grace. Grace is awesome because you can't deserve it, and it's the absolute kindness of God. And so in the authority that's found in the kindness of God, you're going to find all the things that make you happy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Now, how am I going to live in His presence? I can't even see Him. I can't see the wind either. But I know that it's there. How do I know it's there? Well, number one, I can feel it. Number two, I can see its effects. You get a breezy day and you see the trees bend. Imagine if you didn't know that there was such a thing as air and all of a sudden you see the trees bend. Wouldn't that kind of freak you out? It would freak me out. But then you see the trees bend and you look outside. You're not even feeling the wind, but you look outside and the trees are bending and say, yeah, there must be windy outside. Because you know what's causing that. You can simply by knowing that God is present, practice His presence. In other words, be aware of His presence whether you can see Him or not. You can sense that presence. One of the scary things is when you stop sensing that presence. Then you do your best to get right back into His presence because that's just not a happy place to be. But in his presence, in other words, in the consciousness, in the awareness of God being there, you're going to find fullness of joy. When you lose that, you're going to get a situation like happened in Genesis chapter 3. Guys, you have an enemy. That's not happy news, it's just the reality of the matter. You do have an enemy. The devil is your enemy. He's your enemy because he hates God and you belong to God, therefore he hates you. The devil is going to try to steal your joy. The reason why he wants to steal your joy is so you will have no strength. If you have no strength, he can get you to do all kinds of stupid things. So the devil is going to try to take that away. How do you counter that? You don't let him. In other words, the things that the enemy would bring, and you can tell them because they are opposite of what God says, you just ignore them. You don't pay attention to them. You don't respond to them. You don't react to them. You don't give them the time of day. You just ignore the things that the devil brings. And then the Bible says he has to leave you alone. Because he's not going to waste his time where nobody's responding. He did succeed in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, he came and he tempted Adam and Eve. When they took the temptation, they became self-oriented. And the first thing that happened when they were self-oriented is they became afraid. And they became embarrassed. And they became ashamed. And all these things, these negative things started coming their way when they became self-oriented. The number one tool, you could say the number one weapon, Satan uses against us is when we become self-oriented, self-centered. When it's all about me. That will steal your joy. Satan will try to tell you, if it's all about you, that's how you find your joy. It's a lie. The way to find your joy is to be aware constantly of the presence of God, to be God-oriented and not self-oriented. Self-orientation makes people miserable. God-orientation brings the fullness of joy. You guys understand that part? Good. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient." In other words, the authority of God, the right hand of God, is enough to take care of you in every situation. You get in a tough spot in school, you get a tough spot in life with friends, whatever. When you're older, maybe you'll have a tough spot in your life with a job or what have you. Whenever you get into a tough spot, don't worry about it. You may feel weak, but don't look at how you are. Look at how he is. He says, "My strength is sufficient." And that word sufficient doesn't mean just enough. That word sufficient means abundant, way more than what you actually need. That's how God operates. And he says, "My grace is sufficient and my strength is made perfect in your weakness." That means that whenever I am weak, whenever a situation is beyond me, God will come and fight for me, work for me, help me with all of his strength. And his strength is revealed when I don't have strength. Well, you can't get a better deal than that. If I can't, God will. That's pretty good. If I can't find the answer, God will give it to me. If I don't have, let's say, money, God will make sure I have it. If I have no solution to my problem, God will become my solution. What's there to be miserable about? What's there to make me afraid? The way that I become afraid is I become self-oriented. I start looking at myself saying, well, I don't have any solution. I don't have a way. I don't have an answer. I don't have whatever it is that you're looking for. You don't have to have it. God comes in when you don't have it, and he gives it to you. Simple as that. Need an answer? God brings it. Need some Whatever it is, money, God brings it. Need a friend, God will bring them. Whatever it is, God will bring it. His strength is revealed in your weakness. So if you feel weak, don't sweat it. Turn to God, ask Him, and He'll take care of it for you. And you know, that really does work. Sometimes people don't want to believe it because they can't see God. I don't care if you can see Him or not. If you close your eyes, you can't see me. Now I'm here. Don't worry about if you can't see Him. That doesn't make Him any less real. That doesn't make Him any less present. Just like the air. By the way, is God in you? What do you think? Is God in you? You bet He is if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, no, He's not. But if you're a Christian, He absolutely lives inside of you. He makes you His home. That's what He says. Can you feel Him in you? Sometimes. Sometimes, nah, maybe not. You know why you can't feel Him in you? I can't feel Him in me when I'm self-oriented. But when I become God-oriented, it's easy to feel Him in me. Can I see Him? No, I can't see Him. But I know He's there. Just like the air. I know there's air in me. Okay, I breathe and I can feel the air going into my lungs. I know there's air in me. Can I see the air in me? No. Can I see the air outside of me? No. But it's everywhere, including in me. And so I never have to worry about whether God will be present. He's always present. And because He's always present, all I have to think about is the fact, hey, God is here. And God takes care of it. And God loves me. And God is my friend. And God is the one who takes care of all my problems. There's nothing to worry about. It allows me to have joy. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 12:10 in the B part, when I'm weak, I'm strong. What sense does that make? Because when I'm weak, God brings His strength. So there's never a point in my life when there's real weakness. It's just not my strength, it's His strength, and His strength is better than my own strength. Because He's God. In Luke 1:37, the Word of God says that with God, nothing is impossible. So we get into a situation and we can't see our way out of it. And we say, God, this is impossible. Nothing is impossible. For crying out loud, Peter walked on water. Nothing is impossible. Jesus raised people from the dead. And you know what? Other people have also. There have been situations, now this doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough, where people have prayed, someone has died, and people have prayed that God would bring them back, and God brought them back. It happens more often than people realize, because the unbelieving crowd doesn't talk about it. But we know it happens because we see it happen. There's times when God heals people. Most Christians have seen God heal people after being Christians for a certain amount of time. Kids might not, but adults have. I've seen God do some pretty miraculous healings. I knew a blind man once. And we prayed in church that God would heal him, and God healed him. God heals people. You get sick, turn to God. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. Go to doctors. God uses doctors. But at the same time, God might just heal you all by Himself. And He does that because He loves you. And if He doesn't do it all by Himself, it's because He has a plan in it. And so, you never have to worry about the fact that you're weak. God will be strong. You never have to worry about the thought, this is impossible. No, everything is possible. Absolutely everything is possible with God. Well, what if I can't fly? Can I fly? With God, nothing is impossible. Let me give you an example. Billy Graham used to tell this. I told this here once or twice, but I don't know if you guys know this one. Wow, you guys don't know one of my stories. Maybe you do. There were these two guys on a boat, and they were going quite fast, and they hit a rock in the water. And they were going fast enough that they flew out of the boat, and they flew quite high because they were moving so fast. And they were about 30, 40 feet in the air. And that's a very dangerous situation. And both of the guys said the exact same thing. while they were in the air, because they would have probably been killed, an angel came and he grabbed them. And he took them from being over the water and he moved them to being over the land and he slowly put them on the ground. They didn't get hurt at all. The angel just grabbed them and carried them to the ground. Can I fly? You see, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. Because God makes all things possible. And so don't ever tell yourself this is an impossible thing. No, nothing is impossible. Anything can happen with God. It all depends on what His perfect will is. But it's always going to be for your benefit. The Word of God says in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken unto you." This is Jesus talking. "These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." The things Jesus told us were for the sake of our joy. Now, we get other benefits from it also. But one of those benefits, and a big one, is so that we can have joy. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be content. Now, He wants you to do it with character. He doesn't want you to have it like a spoiled little worldly brat. You know, when they say, gimme, 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 and that's all they can think of, and they're not happy until they get what they want. God's not into brats, but He is into joy. And so God wants you to have joy, and He'll produce that joy in you when you draw near to Him, in His presence. You draw near to Him by meditating, thinking about it, considering it, having it in your awareness that He's right there. In John 16:24, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." One of the reasons why God answers prayers, and He does, when you ask, He'll answer your prayers. And one of the reasons is so that you may have joy. God wants you to have that joy of receiving an answer from God. It's a big deal to God that we have joy. The Bible was written in 1 John 1:4 for our joy. So if you want to have that joy, get into the Bible. If you want to have that joy, constantly remind yourself, hey, He is right here and He's helping me and He's with me and He's taking care of me. There's no stress in that. There's just joy. Live in the awareness of God. And your joy will come. And that joy is what's going to make you strong. You want to be a strong individual, do it in the right way. People talk about, oh, that one is so strong. They're not strong. Unless they're doing it God's way, they're not strong. But if you are doing it God's way, you can be immensely strong. Because you'll have great joy that comes from God. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.